General O.R. Bradley, hero of World War II, once said, "We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the message of the Sermon on the Mount. Man is stumbling blindly through a spiritual darkness while toying with the precarious secrets of life and death. We know more about war than we know about peace, and more about killing than we know about living." These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The young preacher named Jesus was making quite a stir. His message was simple and powerful. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the Jewish people of the time, this was exciting news. Some were already speculating that maybe this man was the Messiah who would establish God's earthly kingdom and restore Israel. And there was proof. Jesus healed the sick. The blind received sight. Crippled people walked. Wherever Jesus went, the people came, first by the scores, then by the hundreds, to hear his message of the kingdom of God. One day a large crowd gathered and Jesus climbed a small hill. It was here that he delivered the famous Sermon on the Mount. The people had come to hear about the fulfillment of the prophesied promises God made to Israel. Instead, they heard about being blessed because of persecution, the sacredness of marriage, loving their enemies, fasting, and the difficulty of following God in an evil world. The mission Christ gave to his church is to preach the gospel and to make disciples. These disciples become citizens of a kingdom ruled by God. Christians not only look forward to the time when Jesus will return to establish God's kingdom on this earth, but they live by the values of that kingdom every day. Now, this sermon isn't organized in the way of modern public speakers. Its style is both pithy and instructional, containing concise stories and proverbs common to rabbinical teaching of the day. Now, if you don't have a Bible, get one and turn to Matthew 5, because today we're going to explore the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, generally called the Beatitudes. Now, beatitude means perfect happiness. William James, the famous Harvard psychologist, said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes of mind." If many psychologists would study the teachings of Jesus Christ, they would find that changing one's life by changing one's attitudes isn't a new concept, but was taught by Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus begins his discussion of the core issues of his gospel message by explaining the attitudes that God defines as being essential for life in his kingdom. Now, if you really want to change your life, if you really want to find purpose and perfect happiness, then you must begin with the Beatitudes. Here Jesus reveals the keys to happiness. Now, these attitudes, these approaches to life, can only be realized by our willingness to accept the grace of God and submit to his rule. It's easy to want God's grace. It's another matter to submit to his power over us. Not only are the Beatitudes instructions on how to approach life, they show the contrast between the eternal values of the kingdom and the temporary values of human nature. So let's begin in Matthew 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he," Jesus, "went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" Blessed are the poor in spirit. The opposite and more common approach to life is pride and self-determination. King David understood this attitude when he writes in Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." Now, what does Jesus mean when he says we must be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to understand our nothingness without God. He is the life giver, and he is the only one who can ultimately solve life's problems. To be poor in spirit is to know our own emotional and spiritual poverty. When we are poor in spirit, it's easy to admit when we're wrong. It's easy to say, "I'm sorry." When we are unwilling to take responsibility and deal with the consequences, or when we find ourselves in constant conflict trying to force our will on others, then happiness will always elude us. The turmoil and stress caused by our own pride dissipates our ability to respond to God's help. This is what Christ taught in a parable recorded in Luke 18, 9-11. Turn there, and let's start Luke 18, and starting in verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, the Pharisee wasn't lying when he said he tithed and fasted. He wasn't an extortioner or an adulterer, and he never bowed down to an idol. On the other hand, the tax collector was despised in Jewish society because he collaborated with the occupying Roman government. But the tax collector understood his spiritual poverty when he came before the sovereign of the universe, and this is what was acceptable to God. It is told that Theodore Roosevelt, after an evening of discussing politics and human affairs, would often walk into the night and stare at the majesty and vastness of the twinkling stars. According to his friend William Beebe, after a while, Roosevelt would say, Now I think we are small enough. Let's call it a night. Being poor in spirit is to understand our smallness before God. The second of the Beatitudes is found in Matthew 5, verse 4, where Jesus says, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How many Christians continue to look for life's answers in the newest pop psychology or self-help craze when God says that Christ was sent to give the answer to those who struggle and mourn? Human beings keep trying to discover the keys to happiness and fulfillment, but happiness is impossible without Christ-like attitudes. Notice what Jesus proclaims in Luke 4. We'll start in verse 16 and read through verse 20. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Jesus came to bring the good news, to heal the brokenhearted and free those who are oppressed. Many times we don't experience spiritual and emotional healing because we are cut off from God because of wrong attitudes. Notice that Jesus said, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. All too many times we resist God's comfort because we don't accept his methods of comfort. Our approach to God's comfort can be like one person responding to the first steamboat. When Robert Fulton was about to launch the Claremont, a skeptic called out from the crowd, They'll never get it running. Smoke billowed from the stacks and the steamboat began to move forward. In spite of the evidence, the skeptic couldn't break through the boundaries of his own limitations. Instead of applauding like everyone else, he was heard to exclaim, They'll never get it stopped. How can we actually resist God's comfort? We'll be back to answer that question and more right after this.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been discussing the Beatitudes, Christ's opening remarks to the Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks of the attitudes that will produce perfect happiness. Before the break, we were talking about how we can actually resist God's comfort. Now, here are some of the ways that we can construct emotional and spiritual barriers that keep us from experiencing God's comfort. One way is that human nature wants to blame someone else. God wants us to take responsibility for ourselves and seek his healing. By fixing blame, we stay locked into the past and negative emotions, and we see ourselves as victims. We want to center our energy on self. God wants us to center our energy on others. We want to always look at our troubles. God wants us to look at our blessings. How much time do we spend complaining to God, and how much time do we spend thanking God? We want to clutter our lives collecting things. God wants us to develop kingdom or Christ-like character. We want the easy way out, and God wants us to face each day as an opportunity to develop more of the mind of Christ. We want God to dramatically intervene in our lives. We want to see the Red Sea opening or miraculous healings. You know, sometimes he talks to us in a small, still voice. The prophet Elijah was a great man of God. Elijah had stood up to hundreds of false prophets, and through him God had performed wondrous miracles. Israel's queen Jezebel had issued a death sentence on Elijah. Exhaustion and discouragement drove him into the wilderness, where he hid in a cave. And we'll pick up the story in 1 Kings 19. I start at verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take away my life." And then God says to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Notice that Elijah had given up because of discouragement and isolation. God's quiet response to have Elijah was to get back involved in living. Christianity is more than just believing in the right doctrines. We also must be committed to doing God's kingdom work on this earth. We're to live it every day. Do you have quiet time in your life needed to hear God's still voice contained in the Bible? Do you ignore the fourth commandment? Do you even know what the fourth commandment says? Every seventh day, God wants us to stop the weekly grind and flurry of activity and observe a Sabbath to renew our relationship with him and Jesus Christ and listen to his small, still voice. Let's go back to Matthew 5:5, where the next attitude Jesus says is this: "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, many people misunderstand meekness. Meekness doesn't mean lacking in enthusiasm or being a doormat for others. Meekness is an approach to life to put the needs of others first. The opposite and normal human attitude is desire for personal status or power. Boy, in our selfish society, happiness is defined by what? Finding self. In Christianity, happiness is defined and having ourselves created in the image of Christ. This changes our motivation and our relationships with others from being self-centered to being servant-centered. Christ's example of a servant attitude can be found in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. Here it says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be open.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Jesus shows us by example. An attitude of service is simply an approach to others based upon, what can I do to help you? You know, the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee, which is teeming with fish and plant life. The same Jordan River flows into another sea, where there are no fish, no green plants, no wildlife along the banks. The Sea of Galilee receives water from the Jordan, and it flows outward. The Dead Sea receives the same water, but it has no outlet. Instead, the water stagnates and evaporates, leaving mineral-laden water. One sea is alive and vibrant, the other dead. All of us need to ask from time to time, which is my attitude towards life? The Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea? Then Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The opposite attitude is spiritual complacency, the great ailment that plagues our postmodern world. David says in Psalm 42 that he pants for God like a deer panting for water. Here's the dilemma. We can never be emotionally and spiritually filled until we experience spiritual hunger and thirst. Our whole approach to problems change when we have a burning desire for the righteousness of God. It is interesting that the word enthusiasm in English comes from the Greek en and theos, meaning God within. How complacent are we in our relationship with God? Without the enthusiasm of living for the kingdom, our lives can become an endless pursuit of materialism without any real happiness. Returning to Matthew 5:7, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This goes against the normal human reaction, which is unforgiving, revengeful, and bears grudges. Forgiveness is giving up the emotional need to punish someone who has treated you in a hurtful way. Peter realized that to forgive someone 7 times was remarkable. Jesus told him to forgive 70 times 7. Now, if we're to have peace of mind, we must learn to forgive. If we want perfect happiness, we must change our attitudes. We'll be back with more of Jesus Christ's teachings about the Beatitudes right after this message.
Frankly, life just isn't working for some people. Maybe you have noticed the incredible proliferation of self-help books on store and library bookshelves. You may not realize that most families already own the best self-help book ever published. Millions of copies have been printed, and it's been translated into hundreds of languages. Its words have been around for thousands of years. This book is your Bible. The sponsors of this radio program have put together a booklet titled Making Life Work that helps you make sense out of life. It's filled with practical, down-to-earth advice from the pages of your Bible. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Making Life Work. There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your free copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back for our final segment of today's Good News radio program. Today we've been going through the Beatitudes taught by Jesus Christ in His Sermon on the Mount. We're to Matthew 5:8, where Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. A person who is pure in heart is basically a what you see is what you get type of person. They're not driven by personal agendas. When we aren't pure in heart, we act deceptively towards others, and hypocrisy becomes acceptable as a means to an end. One of the most graphic biblical examples of a person being driven by an impure heart is found in Acts 5. To set the stage, a man named Barnabas sold land and gave the entire proceeds to the church at Jerusalem. The simple act of generosity had been of great encouragement to everyone. Now we pick up the story in Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. You see, Barnabas had given to others from a pure heart. Ananias gave with an attitude of manipulation and hypocrisy. He desired personal acclaim. His story reminds us of the tragic consequences of good deeds done from an impure heart. Returning now to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus teaches us of another attitude that we must develop in order to experience perfect happiness. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We've all known conflict makers, people who seem to thrive on creating strife. The Apostle Paul said, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." There are people who are conflict makers. No matter what the situation, they thrive on creating strife and fighting. There are two mistakes commonly made in the name of peace when dealing with conflict makers. One is making peace by forcing our will on others. Now, this is one of the most common problems in marriage. It is part of human nature to believe that if we can just get everyone to see it our way, then there will be peace. This is the same mentality that led to naming the Colt 45 of the Old West the peacemaker. A second mistake is making peace by appeasement. This approach purchases peace by simply giving in to all demands. This won't work either because we can't solve problems by ignoring them or becoming doormats for others. Being a peacemaker is an attitude stemming from poverty of spirit and an attitude of, "What can I do to help?" A peacemaker seeks peaceful solutions that benefit all involved. Christ tells us in verses 10 through 12 here, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Now, this doesn't mean that God wants Christians to go around seeking persecution. A Christian's approach to life must be that we are committed to God's will no matter what the personal price. And this is strange in today's world. Compromise is unthinkable with the will of God. Notice that this persecution comes for righteousness' sake, not because we've acted foolishly. Christ teaches that true happiness stems from a commitment to God that doesn't fold under stress. Persecution can either drive us away from God, or it can cause us to grow in our relationship with Him. You know, Luke records in Acts 5, verses 40 through 42, that the apostles were persecuted, beaten, and put in jail for their faith. And they, quote, "rejoiced that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for His name." What an approach to life taught by Jesus Christ. Those who wish to participate in His Father's kingdom must develop attitudes that lead to perfect happiness. They must learn to be poor in spirit instead of filled with pride and self-determination, finding comfort in God instead of trying to pursue happiness at all costs, being meek instead of always trying to be top dog, hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness instead of being spiritually complacent and materialistic, being merciful instead of unforgiving, being pure of heart instead of being driven by selfish motives, being a peacemaker instead of a conflict maker, and standing firm in faith when faced with persecution. Notice that each of these attitudes has a reward from God. Now let's go back and read Christ's words in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Penny.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.